Welcome to Lesson 29 in our study of the Book of Revelation as a part of the Prophecy Series. Today we're going to be looking at our final lesson as we look at the closing section of this wonderful book. We've seen a lot as we've done this study through the Book of Revelation. We've started with John's vision of the risen Christ and being told to write this vision. We've seen in chapters 2 and 3 the letters to the seven churches and the messages that were given there that have implications for you and I today. We then went to chapter 4 and 5 where we're in the throne room of God and we see the Lamb and we see the scroll that no one is worthy to open, and the scroll contains the judgments that are to take place on this world. Then when we enter into chapter 6 through chapter 19, we see those judgments being expressed in three series of judgments: the scroll judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. And then, of course, we see the return of Jesus Christ. And with that, we see the establishment of his thousand-year reign, the binding of Satan, the final battle of Gog and Magog. And then, of course, we enter into the great white throne judgment, and from there into eternity. And so now, today, we're going to focus in on this last section of the book of Revelation. And so we're going to look at Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 21, the final word. And so what we want to do is divide this portion of scripture into several different parts, and try to understand what is being told to us in conclusion to this great prophecy that we've been shown. So let's start with the first section, the first part. We're going to focus in on Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 7, the certainty of the return of Christ. We're going to talk about how this is going to happen for sure. So let's start by looking at verse 6. And here is what John records. "And he said to me, 'These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book.'" All right, so let's take a look at what's happening here as far as the certainty of Christ's return. So what I want you to notice, if we focus in on the first part of verse 6 of chapter 22, we're going to see the surety of the prophecy. We're going to see that this is a definite, that it's going to happen. How do we know that? Well, the angel proclaims that all that John has seen is true. Now, what all did John see? Well, folks, that's from chapter 21 all the way up to verse 5 of chapter 22. It's with regards to his vision of the risen Christ, the letters to the seven churches, his vision of the throne room of God, the Lamb, the one who takes the scroll, opening of the scroll, the series of judgments that are there, that leads into the trumpet judgments, which leads into the bowl judgments, and all that is taking place all the way up to the destruction of the beast and the second beast, which is the false prophet, as well as the return of Christ and so forth, eternity, all of that is true. What we have recorded here is true. That is what we're being told. Now, when you come to the second part of verse 6 in chapter 22, we're going to see the purpose of the prophecy. So why do we have this book of prophecy? Well, what I want you to see, the prophecy was given to show what will take place shortly. Now, some of you might be thinking, shortly? Well, George, this was given back in AD 90. So we've been almost 2,000 years since this was given. What do you mean shortly? Well, the word shortly can also be translated suddenly. This is going to take place suddenly. It's just going to happen when it happens, when the time is right. And the only one who knows when the time is right is God the Father who hands over the scroll to the Son, who will open up the scroll and bring the judgments. The point is, this is to show us what's going to take place. Now, with that, that brings us then to the last part of this first part, which is verse 7 of chapter 22, the promise. There's a promise that's given here that you and I need to be aware of. Now, what is it? Christ promises to return quickly. Folks, whether it's in this book or in other books of the New Testament, Jesus tells us he is coming back again. Now, what we have with this book is the final revelation of what will take place when he comes back. And so what we also see here with this verse is a blessing is bestowed on those who hold to the prophecy. So what does it mean to hold to the prophecy? It means that you grasp the meaning, you're aware of what's going to take place in the future, and that is motivating you to how you live your life now, that you are going to be ready when the Son of God comes back. And that's the reality. Now, there's an interesting thing that happens in this second part when we look in at Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. We see the worship by John. John, because of what has been said, expresses worship. Now, I want you to notice with me what verse 8 says. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Okay, so let's take a look. Something's happening that's interesting here. We get confused, I think, sometime because of the translation of the word angel, but let's take a look here. So when we focus in on verse 8 of chapter 22, we see that John worships the one standing by. Now, what do we see here? John responds to the words by worshiping the one standing by. Now, the text we just read said angel, but I need to remind you, just like with the letters to the seven churches, angel also means messenger. So he responds by worshiping the one who has brought this message, who has shown him these things. That's what's happening here. But then when we come to chapter 22, verse 9, we're going to see the rebuke of the one standing by. So something interesting is happening here because it's going to redirect John in his worship. What do you mean? Well, the one standing by, that is the messenger, the one standing by rebukes John and tells him to worship God only. He's basically saying, don't worship me. I'm just like you. I'm like one of your brothers. I'm like one of the prophets. So that's obviously a saint. And he says, worship God only. That's where your worship should be directed, not towards me, but towards the Lord. All right, so in the third section, this third part, we're going to focus in on Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 through 11, the command to proclaim the prophecy of this book. What do you mean? Well, let's focus in on what he shares with us in verse 10. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. All right, so let's take a look here. First of all, when we look at verse 10, we're going to notice that the prophecy is not to be sealed. Now, what does that mean, George? We understood when Daniel was told to seal up the prophecy. That is, it couldn't be added to when we looked at the book of Daniel. What does it mean here that this prophecy is not to be sealed? Well, the prophecy is not to be hidden. This isn't just a book that only a few select people are supposed to know about. It is supposed to be open for all. It's not to be sealed away. So then notice now, when we look at verse 11, it's going to talk about the response to the prophecy, which we saw this in Daniel chapter 12 as well. What do you mean? Well, take a look. Those who do not heed the prophecy will continue in their wickedness. So people are just going to ignore it and keep sinning. They're going to keep doing their filthiness. Now, those who heed the prophecy will continue to do right. They'll continue to be holy. This is the reality. People are going to respond to the prophecy in one of two ways. They're either going to ignore it and continue in their sin, or they're going to be impacted by the prophecy and continue to do what's right and to do what is holy. Now, in the next major part, in the next section that we're going to see here, we're going to be focusing on Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, the coming judgment and reward. The coming judgment and reward. Now, what do we see here? Notice what verse 12 says. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. Wow, that's some pretty harsh words here. What exactly do we see here? Well, Christ is returning to give everyone their just reward. He's coming to settle accounts. He's coming to bring everyone to a reckoning. We already saw that when we looked in Revelation chapter 20, the Great White Throne Judgment. There is a sense in which Jesus is coming to make things right, and he's going to give to everyone their just reward. Well, then when we come to Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, in our next section, we see the eternal Christ. We see what he says. So I want you to notice with me what verse 13 says. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Wow, what a proclamation. We've actually seen this proclamation before. Here's what I want you to notice. Christ proclaims himself as eternal God. Alpha and Omega. That's the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter. He is it. He's the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. He has always existed. He is eternal God. Now, that brings us to Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 through 15, the coming blessing and judgment. So notice this next major section. So I want you to notice what it says in verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So here we're going to see this blessing and judgment. So let's focus in on verse 14 where we see the blessing. So what I want you to notice is this. It very much is expressing that those who persevere will inherit eternal life. Now this is a theme that we've seen throughout the book of Revelation. It was the promise that was given at the end of each one of the letters of the seven churches that those who overcome, they will receive a reward. Those who persevere, those who overcame by the blood of the Lamb, those who held on, and those who were patient, those who persevere will inherit eternal life. It is a message for you and I today. Hang on, Jesus is coming. But also now, notice when we get to verse 15, we see the judgment. We see what's happening here. Well, the wicked will have no part in eternal life. Now, again, that is basically laying out that those who will have eternal life and be a part of the New Jerusalem, they'll not have to worry anymore those who practice wickedness, those who practice evil, and those who practice falsehood will not be a part of eternal life. They will have their place in the lake of fire. Well, that brings us to our next major section, which we're going to see in Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 through 17, and we see the invitation of the Spirit and the bride. Now, what exactly is happening here? Well, notice what it says in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price come. We need to come. So let's see here. Verse 16, we're going to see that Jesus identifies himself. This is from the Lord himself. What does he say? Jesus identifies himself as the one who sent his angels to proclaim the prophecy. He is the one who sent his angels. Why? His messengers to proclaim this prophecy for you and I, to encourage us to hold on. Well, then notice now, when we get to verse 17 of chapter 22, we see the call to salvation. It is the call of the Spirit and the bride. It is the invitation. What do we see here? The call is given to those who are searching, who are thirsty, who want something more. What? The call is given to those who are searching to come. We're to come to him. And we see that even as we live today, there are people who are longing for something more. And folks, you and I have the message to bring to them, and it is Jesus. He's calling those who are searching to come to him. Now, that brings us then to this next section that we're going to look at in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19, the final warning. There's a final warning that's given here. So let's notice what verse 18 says. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life in the holy city, which is described in this book. Okay, so what exactly is happening here with this warning? Well, the one who rejects the book by altering it, either taking away or adding to it, the one who rejects the book by altering it will be judged severely. That is the warning that is given. Then that brings us now to our final section of this book of Revelation, as we focus in on Revelation chapter 22, verses 20 to 21, the prayer and promise. The prayer and promise. So notice with me, look at what verse 20 says. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Wow. So what do we see here? Jesus promises to come quickly. And that's a reality that you and I can hold on to. He says, I'm coming. It's only a short time, but not, what do we mean by short time? Because it's been a couple thousand years, George. Well, he's going to come shortly, or should I say, suddenly. And when he comes, he will set all things right. And if you trust and believe in him, you just need to hang on, because ultimately the promises of this great city that is to come, the New Jerusalem, the tree of life and the waters of the tree of that flow, bringing us life and being with Jesus and no more pain and no more misery, no more grief. He'll wipe away every tear. All of those things will be fulfilled in our lives. This is a prophecy that you and I need to be aware of, because it is what our hope is. And so that brings us to the end of our study in the book of Revelation.